Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Most of you are probably old enough, well, maybe not all, but probably most. Most of you are probably old enough to remember the Academy Award-winning movie from the 1970, Love Story. Remember that movie? With Ryan O'Neal and Ally McGraw? That movie made very popular the phrase, love means never having to say you're sorry. That's about the worst explanation of love I've ever heard. The avoidance of offenses many times will build and build and build till eventually it blows up. And many times it blows up over the most insignificant matters. When people go about their lives and never saying they're sorry, never seeking forgiveness, then the person that they have done wrong, the pressure builds. And one day, over something trivial, they explode. It's amazing how gullible humans sometimes are. You know, I would argue that unless one is willing to say that they are sorry, then they don't truly love. So this morning, I want to share a few things with you and give perhaps some biblical advice on forgiveness and asking for forgiveness. Number one, Christianity is more, now before you start throwing things at me, listen to what I say. Christianity is more than a set of doctrines to believe. Now, certainly, there's, you know, Christianity involves many non-negotiable doctrines that we must believe. John chapter 8, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's not going to change. That's doctrine. It says here, John writes, and you got to understand what's taking place here. The idea here that John is trying to get us to understand is that if we do not believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God, then we're going to die in our sins. If we do not believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, then we're going to die in our sins. This is doctrine that this will not change. And then we read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. You know, there's people today still looking for this Antichrist to come. Oh, and they're pointing over there to Iran. You know, all the naysayers and all of those who don't believe that Christ is not going to come and set his kingdom up on this earth. But look at what's said here. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this that the spirit of and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay? So what is the Antichrist? It's not some supernatural being that's going to manifest himself upon this earth and cause people to die in sin. Did you read what the Antichrist is? And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Those who do not believe that Christ has come in the flesh. And there are those who truly do believe that. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. These are doctrines to be believed, and they cannot be changed. Okay? Christianity is more than to hold on to doctrine. Christianity is practicing doctrine. All right? Again, look at John chapter 8 and verse 24. And I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We need to practice the fact that Jesus Christ done what? That he came to this earth. He became flesh. And he dwelt among men. And that he was tortured and put to death on the cross and died and shed his blood for the sins of mankind. One of those teachings we must practice, one of the teachings that's very important, one of the doctrines that we must practice is that of forgiveness. Take your Bibles. Open up to Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read a few verses there. Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to start reading in verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? You know, Peter here is asking a simple question. He wanted to know, because he wanted to be right. How many times must I forgive a brother who sinned against me? Seven times? I mean, this was a legitimate question. He truly wanted to know. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, here Peter had been offended. I'm not saying that, you know, somebody had sinned against him. But he wanted to find out. See, under the old law, there were certain rituals, certain things that had to be done in a certain way, on a certain time, at a certain day, a certain time, certain part of the year, that could not be changed because it was written into the law of Moses. Well, here, Peter wanted to find out what Jesus thought about forgiveness and how many times we should forgive someone who had trespassed against us. So here we look in verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, an astronomical amount of money in this day and age. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. Could you imagine owing money and you could not pay it back, and your whole family was sold into slavery? That's what's taking place here. This man was terrified. He was terrified that he was going to be, you know, sold as a slave, and his family be taken from him, and his wife and children even sold into slavery. And it goes on, and the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. And the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. How much do you think we owe because of our sin? How much do you think we owe because of our unfaithfulness? How much do we owe because we fail to forgive? You know, here the master took compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt, just as Christ's blood forgives us. We have salvation through the blood if we obey. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Very small amount. Very small amount. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou then also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth. He was very angry. And delivered him to the tormentors. He didn't just sell him. He sent him to be tortured. What do you think is going to happen to us if we fail to forgive someone that has come and sought forgiveness? Do you think we would not be tormented? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, did you catch the last part there? This is very important because we're speaking about forgiveness. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you torment. That's what he's talking about, because this servant was sent to the tormentors. But listen what else is said here. If you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Brothers and sisters, it's just a little bit more than just simply saying, oh yeah, okay, I forgive you. is forgiving from the heart. Forgiving from the heart. First John. Chapter 4 and verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And then Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. What does it mean to be tender hearted? Doesn't it mean to be filled with compassion, filled with understanding? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Did you make a parallel here between this unfaithful servant that we just read about, who sought forgiveness because he could not pay the large amount of money that he owed to his Lord, his master? What do you think we owe to God? What do we owe to Christ? Think about that. Think about the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. Because of that, should we not forgive one another? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Brothers and sisters, I believe, and I am convinced, that if we fail to forgive, then when we stand up on the day of judgment, do you really truly believe we're going to be forgiven? No. It won't happen. Things that forgiveness does not do. All right, there are several things that forgiveness does not do. It does not erase our memory. If somebody wrongs you, yeah, you may fully, wholeheartedly forgive that person, but you know it's always there. Notice Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. We're not God. God has the power to be merciful and to remember our sins no more. Now, if someone trespasses or sins against us, yes, we may wholeheartedly and truly forgive, right? That's how we should be, what we should do. But you know, the memory of that offense is still bouncing around inside our gray matter. But you know what we can do? Even though it's never out of our memory, what happens when we forgive? Once it's forgiven, it's never brought up again. That's one thing I believe in in marriage. You're going to have a tiff. You're going to have arguments. You're going to make each other mad. As brothers and sisters in the church, many times we make each other mad, don't we? We may not intend to do that, but because of our attitude, the way we speak, the way we act, sometimes we make each other angry. Especially in a marriage, with husband and wife, we make each other mad, we make each other angry over whatever took place. But you reconcile, you forgive. Again, we may not ever forget it, but when you get into a heated argument in the next month or the next week, you don't say, well, I remember last week when you did this. You don't do that. Just imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and you have the blood of Christ shielding you, and it says here that he's not going to remember our iniquities anymore. Jesus is not going to stand there and from his throne and say, I remember what you did. I remember every little detail. And he knows. But he's not going to bring it up. Because we've been forgiven. And that's how we as Christians, that's how we must be. If someone trespasses or sins against us and they seek forgiveness, brothers and sisters, we must forgive from the heart. Not simply, well, yeah, okay, I'll forgive you, just to get them away from you or to make them, be quiet. It has to be from the heart. It's not going to remove consequences. Sin has consequences, doesn't it? 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. What did he do? He committed adultery, fornication with Bathsheba. Had her husband killed. Married her. And David said unto Nathan, because Nathan come, and what, remember what Nathan said? Told David a little story about this rich man that went to the poor man and took the poor man's lamb that the man even slept with. He treated it like a child. And the rich man went and took it. What did David say? Well, that rich man's going to have to pay that man back. And I don't remember the exact amount, like 100-fold. And what did Nathan say? You're that man. Then David realized what Nathan was speaking about. And he said, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. The Lord is not going to remember it. Thou shalt not die. David deserved death. Not only spiritually, but physically under the old law. Then he says, howbeit because by this deed, Nathan says, David, because of this, what you've done, this deed that you've done, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. That was the consequence of David and Bathsheba's sin. David's sin. Forgiveness does not really, offenses do not leave our mind. We remember. Sinfulness has consequences. you sin, if you don't forgive, there's going to be consequences. We must confess our faults, shouldn't we? We should confess our faults. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word there, fault, literally is trespass. Effectual, fervent. That two-word phrase there literally means to be at work. To be at work praying availeth much, strong, powerful, mighty. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is mighty, powerful. Some among us perhaps have kind of institutionalized this passage and apply it to almost exclusively in our assemblies. That you can only seek forgiveness by coming forward before everybody and confessing your sins or your faults or whatever the situation may be. But did you notice what it says? Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. It's not only coming to the front of the auditorium and sitting down in the front row pew and speaking to the preacher. It's about praying for one another. If someone comes to you and says, I beg for forgiveness. What I've done is wrong. Should we not pray for that person? Should we not seek God's forgiveness for that person? Yeah, we forgive them. Maybe we ought to pray with that person and seek God's forgiveness. Not only for the one, but for the other one as well. This, I believe, confessing our faults one to another and praying for one another should be done every day of our life. Not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or maybe Wednesday. We must learn how to apologize and seek forgiveness. We sometimes apologize in a very defensive and unsympathetic way that leaves the one who was offended unsatisfied. When seeking forgiveness, what should we do? Should we not accept the responsibility for what you've done? I was wrong. No excuses. Again, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. David accepted the responsibility for what he did. Sometimes when we trespass, do we truly accept responsibility for what we did? Maybe even making restitution. Maybe we should make things right. Matthew 3, verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Meet, worthy, deserving. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy, deserving for repentance. We should come and seek forgiveness with our hearts. Acts 16 and verse 33, and he took them the same hour and night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his house, or all his straightway. You remember what's taking place here, Paul and Silas in prison? And at midnight, I believe that they were praying and singing songs, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake, and all of the doors of the prison, and Paul and Silas was put in the deepest, darkest part of the prison. Earthquake, all the doors were open. And because the guard there knew that his life depended on keeping them in that cell and not letting them escape, he forfeited his life. He's literally going to kill himself because he knew that they was going to kill him anyway for letting Paul and Silas escape. And what did Paul and Silas do? Do thyself no harm. We're here. We've not left. And then the guard took them in the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, because they'd been beaten, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. We should also, and lastly, express a desire to change. We don't have time, but you can read Psalms 51 and find out what was said there about accepting responsibility and restitution and the desire to change. So the lesson is yours. These were suggestions, and they're not intended to just help you get along with your fellow man. They are offered to help you to obtain forgiveness from God, because we will be forgiven how we have forgiven others. So this morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian and you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away to be forgiven, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see that you need the prayers of the saints, for whatever the reason, would you come as we stand to sing the song of invitation? Yeah.